You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, August 13th, episode 3753. Good morning, Horse World. Well, Jamie and I are off this week, as you know, but we continue with some brand new episodes for you that I recorded last week. It's Founders Week, where you meet the host that helped start the Horse Radio Network 17 years ago. And in this episode, we get caught up with Samantha Clark of the WEG shows, the World Equestrian Games shows, both of them that we did. And we talked the past, the present, and the future. If you missed Monday, we caught up with Helena of Stable Scoop. And Friday of this week, we'll chat with Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show. Jamie and I should be back with you on Monday morning. Whether you're a new listener or an old-timer, I think you'll enjoy this walk down memory lane and also like to hear what they're all up to now. I know I did. Without these three, the Horse Radio Network would not have been as successful as it was today. Even before we started Horses in the Morning, these three were around. We'll get to Samantha right after this word from Daily Dose Equine.
Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose Equine program. We never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Our full line of specialty horse feeds is unique in the industry. We start with high-quality non-GMO grains that are flame-roasted for safety and better digestibility. And then we add non-GMO alfalfa, timothy, peas, sunflower seeds, and flax. Your horse will enjoy unsurpassed balanced core nutrition with elevated levels of vitamins, zinc and copper, prebiotics, probiotics, and electrolytes in every mouthful. Find the perfect formulation for your horse at DailyDoseEquine.com. Select Daily Dose Equine formulations are available nationwide through Chewy.com and TractorSupply.com.
Samantha, it is so, so good to talk to you again. I can't tell you how good.
It's wonderful to be back. It feels just like the old days.
You know,
emphasis on the old.
So what we're doing in these sessions, we're doing specials all week. I had Helena on Monday. You're here Wednesday, and then Dr. Wendy's going to be on Friday. And we're off this week, so I thought, what can we do? And a lot of people have been asking, a lot of new listeners have been asking how this all started 17, almost 18 years ago. I know. And I thought, what better way than to have the original cast of characters on? So I'm calling it Founders Week. It's not founder singular. It's founders, because founder singular is something else in our world. And I don't, far as I know, none of us have founder. Although we're probably close. So Samantha, we were trying to figure out how we met, because Samantha and I did the 2010 WEG show, the World Equestrian Games show, together, and then we did the 2018 World Equestrian Games show together. We did two different shows together, and we did it for 2 years before the 2010 Games, so it was right after I started Stable Scoop that we did WEG. Because we had a full two-year run before the World Equestrian Games, and... I don't know how we met.
I feel like I've known you forever. I honestly, when you asked me that, I'm like, well, I met you at WEG. And then I'm like, whoa, no.
No, no.
I honestly.
It must have been some event, or maybe Kentucky 3-day, because we both went to that. I don't know. In the media room, maybe. I don't know. I really don't. It just does seem like we've known each other forever. And what's interesting about having done the WEG show with you, and we did two, and I was talking to Jennifer the other day, and I asked her, I said, what was your favorite of the two? Because she was at both also. And for both of us, it is very clearly the 2010 WEG. It was the most special. You've been to a ton of shows around the world, but that show, for some reason for us, because we got full access to everything, was just special. I mean, it was just cool. Yeah. Do you have a thought?
Well, because we lived right here too, and because I think the city of Lexington totally got behind it, and we had all the horses, everyone, we had all the entertainment every day. I mean, it was just I thought it was really exciting. We got really lucky with our spotlight riders. I don't think we did that again for the try-on one. We didn't do that, did we? We had our spotlight riders, and I think that was really helpful to get to know. We felt like we had, friends.
And we're still friendly with a bunch of them, actually. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So, it was wonderful. And I think we were both pretty new at it. We both came at it with a sort of very fresh attitude. Now
that was the thing, you know, we had just started podcasting, and you know, it was tough podcasting back then. Things weren't as easy. Do you remember the equipment when we would set up? I mean, I had a trunk full of equipment back then. Now I carry a little tiny bag with a couple microphones and a tiny little mixer. I mean, we had a trunk full of equipment back then.
And no one really knew what a podcast was or what we were doing.
No.
Groundbreaking, Glenn. Now everyone's got a podcast.
You know what's funny about the relationships with co-hosts, too, is, all of our best friends now come from podcasting. I mean, all of our friends are from podcasting. But with you and I feel like it was a kind of different relationship. And let me explain why. Is because we were on site for 3 weeks doing those shows together. We spent a lot of time in person, which I don't get to do with any of my other hosts ever. So it was a much, and plus we lived in the same town. We did a lot of pre-events together for, especially at Dr. Lyons, right? With Alltech and Dr. Lyons. We went to a lot of their events. They invited us to a lot of events. So I feel like I just got to know, I got to spend more personal time with you, and it just seemed different.
Yeah. And I think that's why I found it hard, because I did the eventing radio show for a little while.
Yeah.
And I think I found that adjustment really hard to having to sync up with everyone on the phone. And we didn't have the video. We just did it on Skype, I think. And
well,
I found that much harder and not as much.
And there's certain people like Jamie and I, for instance, right? I mean, we've been doing this show for 15 years. But there's certain people that when you work with them, it just works. You just know it works. And you and I had that with the Wegg show. We really did. And we agreed on a lot. We argued about a couple of things, I remember. But we agreed on most of it as far as who the spotlight riders were, what the content was going to be. And you're right. I think part of it was we both lived in Lexington. And all the events pre-WEG, we got to cover.
Yeah.
And then we had this.
I remember taking your and you and Jamie's pictures at the Kentucky Horse Park, the original.
I still have the CD that you gave to me. It's right here in my drawer. We still use those promo pictures. Thank you for that, by the way. I want to talk about Dr. Lyons a little bit, because a lot of people may not know this story. Dr. Lyons of Alltech, who ran Alltech, which was one of the most progressive thinking people we've ever met in our lives, and one of the smartest people we've ever met in our lives. And he believed podcasting wasn't anything. Nobody knew what the hell one was. And we went in there, introduced ourselves, and he believed in podcasting. He right away, he got it. But he also had a studio in his corporate office. He had a complete TV studio. He got it. He got technology, got media. He would guest anytime we asked him to. But he also was the one that basically made the 2010 WEG happen. He put up like $40 million dollars of his own money.
Yeah. Well, we still have the Alltech Arena.
Yeah, exactly. And that should be named the Dr. Lyons Arena, to be honest, because he was the one that pushed that through. We counted on him. He was our biggest supporter. And when we couldn't get press passes for stuff. We couldn't get a press pass for WEG. And we were the only one that had, I don't know if you remember this. We were the only one that had done the WEG, a podcast about WEG for 2 years. They wouldn't give us a press pass. We called Dr. Lyons. And then we got the all access pass that got us everywhere. So it was better than a press pass. But he was just great to us that way. I wonder if that show would have been at all successful without Dr. Lyons, actually, because he was such a help.
He was great. It was good times. And all our guests, we had such fun guests. Because we used to go down to the downtown and do our shows each night downtown.
That's right. You're right. I forgot about that. Wow. Yeah, that's right. We went into town to do our show.
We had to drag all our guests down there.
Yeah, through all the traffic to get there because it was WAG.
Yeah.
That's funny. I forgot about that. I remember, one thing Samantha got mad at me about is because I would, while covering WAG, is I would disappear every afternoon for about 2 hours, and I would go down to the All-Tech Arena, and I'd cover vaulting. Oh, yeah. And it basically was an excuse to get in the air conditioning and take a nap in the afternoons. She's like, where do you go in the afternoons? I love you vaulting. It's the best sport ever. It was kind of fun to watch, but it was also very comfortable down there. Otherwise, it was a ton of walking. That I do remember. Oh, my God, the walking. Yeah. There, because we didn't have a cart.
No, I think I brought my bike in. I think I smuggled my bike in a few days.
It was just a long way to walk from one complete end to the other. Another memory, were you there when endurance started, at the beginning of endurance? We both our jaws dropped because we were not expecting 100-mile racers to go like 80 miles an hour out of the start gate and almost run us over. We were just shocked. It was like it was a sprint, not a 100-mile race. It was crazy.
Yeah.
We didn't get to cover it in Tryon. Was a whole different picture. I almost don't remember a lot of Tryon.
Tryon, I do remember the endurance because that was sort of complete cock up.
Yeah, and then it got canceled.
And then it was, I remember all the rain and the sort of mudslides coming down the hill. And
it wasn't quite ready. That wasn't their fault. They didn't have much time to get ready. Yeah. But I remember I became the official weatherman, remember?
Brilliant. And then on the eventing, they had to cancel the show jumping and postpone it till the next day. So they had the trot up. And then it was all just a bit strange.
The media room was not, I'm not done. I mean, there was nothing. It was an empty room.
There were wires hanging down from the ceiling.
Yes, with extension cords. But yet I have fond memories of some of the fun things we did there. It was completely different than Lexington, completely different. But it was kind of fun in a raw, rustic kind of way. It felt like you were in the mountains doing a raw, rustic kind of show, you know?
Yeah.
It was different. Do you have any favorite memories of either one of the shows?
So many. It's hard to pick one. I think just getting to know so many different people, and even now that, you know, I don't really meet many of the para riders because I don't often see them.
You did a fundraiser. You were the host of a fundraiser for the paras that we did at All Tech at the home office on TV live. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
We raised like 10 grand that night for paras. Yeah. Yeah, you hosted that. Yeah.
So I missed them. And then meeting some of them again, but also meeting new people and try on that. I mean, they're just so inspiring. And yeah.
It also did give us the opportunity to speak with top level riders in all the disciplines that we would have never gotten to speak to otherwise. I mean, in all the disciplines, you covered eventing, but we got to talk to the top show jumpers and dressage riders and, you know, all of it.
And it's always nice to have an excuse to, like, yes, you have to sit and watch, you know, because I love it when it's on and I'll always watch, but sometimes I don't have time. But to be told that this is your job for the next 18 days, you're just going to sit and watch everything. So, you know, to watch all the rounds of the show jumping and see it. And yeah, I loved it. It was heaven.
Yeah. Go to all the press conferences. You know, that was another fun thing to do. And then I think it's different, too, when the world press is there. The press room was different for those events than, let's say, Rolex every year.
Yes.
Because it was all the international press was there, too. It was a completely different feel.
Yeah.
I'm not saying one was better than the other. It was just different.
No, it's just a real buzz as well.
Yeah, yeah. So there we go. We did that show, and then it was over. It was like, and then I called you and said, let's do it again.
It might come back again, too.
Well, they're kind of doing it.
Glen, LA.
I know. I did think about that, actually. I did think, what's that,
2028.
So, yeah, that would means we'd start next year, right? 2026 coverage.
Bring me out of retirement.
Bring me out of retirement. What are you talking about? I'm not the boss anymore. See, I'd have to get approval to start that show. That's another big change, right? Since we talked last, is as of July 1st, Ashley's running the thing and I'm doing horses in the morning.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's kind of nice not to be the boss and write the checks and all that stuff. That's kind of nice now. I do like that part. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what you're up to now, because I have no freaking idea what you're doing now. So let's talk about that coming up.
As horse owners, we spend a lot of time on the road. Let U.S. Rider help keep you covered. Our equestrian motor plan offers fast, reliable, nationwide service from our highly trained roadside assistance team. 24/7 coverage for both you and your horse. Membership includes horse trailer servicing, towing, flat tire repair, even on dual wheels, battery assistance, and lockout service on any vehicle in your plan. We also have your equine companions covered with referrals for emergency vet services, farrier referrals, and emergency stabling assistance. Get peace of mind on the road for you and your horse. Join U.S. Rider today.
So, Samantha Clark, what the hell are you doing now? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Same old, literally exactly the same kind of stuff.
First, where are you living? Every time I talk to you, it's either Lexington or somewhere in England or back to Lexington.
Well, that's pretty much what it's been. It's been Lexington most of the time, but we did move. My son and I moved. My daughter lives in England. She actually graduated university
last summer. College?
Yeah. She graduated
she from was this big.
Edinburgh. I know. She graduated from Edinburgh last summer and is working in London.
What's she doing?
Loving it. She does branding and marketing for a jewelry designer in Notting Hill.
Yay.
So she works right off the Portobello Road in Notting Hill. And then she lives in Brixton with two guys and
Three's Company kind of thing.
Living her best life.
And your son's how old now?
And I'm in Kentucky, and so she's 5 hours ahead of me, but our time schedules pretty much sync up because she sleeps quite late. She doesn't have to be at work till 10. And then by the time she's, you know, by the time I'm getting up, I usually get up about the same time as her. And then by the time she's going to bed, it's about, I mean, she stays at, we're basically on the same schedule, even though she's 5 hours ahead.
And your son's with you?
Yeah. He's with me for the summer. He's at University of Tennessee in Knoxville.
Oh, wow.
Doing sports management.
Oh, wow.
Which he loves.
Oh, that's cool that he's doing that, kind of in the family there. Yeah.
Sort of. That's what I think. But then it's quite slick and modern and all the things he does. And then also the sports he likes, I don't even, you know, football, basketball, baseball, so we don't have a lot to talk about.
Wait, do I remember you being a tennis fan?
Yes.
That's right. We used to talk about tennis all the time. I remember that, yes.
And funny enough, next week, I'm going to the Cincinnati Open, which is a really big deal. I didn't know because there's a University of Kentucky player playing. He did his first round. He won a round at Wimbledon this year. He did Wimbledon for the first time. He's like number 38 in the world, and he's playing next week. So I'm going. I still work for WUKY. For now, anyway, our local NPR.
Yeah, I was going to ask you kind of what's going to happen with that. But you still work for them? You've worked for them for, 10, 12 years? Yeah.
No more. Before I even got married. Longer than you.
Really?
So I don't let anyone go.
So I'm around for as long as you're alive, or as long as I'm alive. Or,
If you hire me, it's for life.
What do you do? You still doing reports for them and special stories?
A little, I'm the equestrian correspondent. So I do anything horsey, pretty much, that's interesting, I'll have a look at. And then some other, basically anything that... I've been subbing a little bit for the morning news anchor was sick for a couple of years. So I did do quite a lot for her then, but now she's back, thankfully. And I'll just, if she goes on vacation or if someone else goes, you know, like I'll pitch in and do straight news. Otherwise I'll just do features and news and like in elections and when they get busy and they need someone to, they just call me up, which works well.
And you still get to do horsey stuff?
I still get to do horsey stuff. Yep. Love it.
Now that's an NPR station, right?
That's an NPR station.
So,
but God, because we're the horse capital of the world, it's quite,
Things must be interesting over there right now.
We our meeting got cancelled. We're supposed to have a meeting about it this week, but they've pushed it back to next week. I don't think we know what we're going to do, frankly. So for now, I still have a job, but...
Well, apparently they can't get rid of you. It's not allowed. So there's that.
So there's that.
So you're doing that. Do you still do any writing?
Yes, I work for Debbie at An Eventful Life, Debbie Higgs, who runs An Eventful Life, which is based out of Australia, but they also do a lot of English events. And then I started working for her, gosh, again, quite a long time ago. I can't remember, because she wanted someone to cover Kentucky, because they didn't really have anything in America. They didn't really cover anything in America, but obviously, I think it was when Kentucky became a 5-star. That's when I started working for her. Yeah. So, yeah.
Another one that you haven't let go.
No, so I work a lot for her, and I really enjoy it. And I went to the Fratoni World Championships with her in 2022. So...
And do you still get back to England to cover badminton and all of that?
Yes, I was at badminton in the spring. I haven't been to Bali for a couple of years, and I'm not going this year because I'm going to wait a week and go to Blenheim for the European Championships.
If our listeners had a choice, they could only go to one event in England. Which one? Burley.
Badminton or Burley or Bramham.
I only have money for one.
I can't choose. I mean, you'd have a good time anyway. It wouldn't really matter. So.
And which one's closer to London proper?
Badminton,
right. So if they wanted to tour London and then go to badminton, then that would probably be the best one to do it that way.
Yeah.
So anything else going on in Samantha's life that we need to know about?
No, I've got a yellow Labrador called Fletcher, who's lighting my life.
Okay, so
a golden child.
For those that don't know, when we did all our coverage of Lexington, everywhere we'd go, Samantha had a black, what was the black dog's name?
Leo,
that's right. Samantha had Leo, and Leo and Samantha were inseparable. They were married at the hip. And that was the quietest damn dog. He was the quietest dog. He would just go everywhere and just lay at your feet.
And now I've got the same. We couldn't get another black. Well, we did get, we adopted another black one. It was a disaster. And then I swore no more Labradors. And then my daughter, insisted. My sister, when we were in England, she was like, oh, the guy down the road's got puppies, let's go and see them. And I should have known. Yeah, then we'd have been, why don't we just get this puppy? So that's how we met Fletcher, and he's like Leo but yellow.
Labrador's completely perfect. Samantha walks a lot, like more than any of us ever dreamed of walking in a day. And you always did it with your dog.
Yeah.
Everywhere you went. at the horse park specifically.
And even the spring, funny enough, I was at Kentucky, and I was, because I live there, you know, it's fun to be able to go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before it really starts properly and see. And I saw Michael Young, and I still get a little bit starstruck with him. And I asked if he would mind doing an interview whenever he had time that day. And he said, yeah, about maybe 3 o'clock. I said, yes, whenever, absolutely whenever. He said, I come find you. He wanted to meet by that grill place. I'm like, yeah. So you'll know me because I'll have my dog. He'll just be lying down by my side.
And there he was.
Yep.
Jessica Phoenix is another one. She was our spotlight rider. Yes. We could for 2010 WEG. She was a youngster. She was a baby back then.
And she had a baby.
Yes.
She had a baby right before WEG. And I'm like, Glenn, that's a disaster.
Yes.
There's no way she's going to be back for WEG.
Yes.
I'll eat my hat. And then silver medal.
Samantha ate her hat. But she's been great. She's come on the show 100 times with us since then. And, you know, anytime I ask her, she comes on. She's just as delightful now as she was then. And she's done very well. So good for her. Jessica Phoenix, what a puppy she was back then. It's like,
yeah, I bumped into her and the same thing. I think the same time, I think she was chatting to Michael Young. They were both hacking out and they were talking about, because they are both doing a bit of pure show jumping too. And she this Kentucky, do you know all this already? I'm sure you do. This Kentucky, she competed in the pure show jumping and the event.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
She really is. She's managed to manage the family and being a professional very well. So,
yes.
Yeah. And the kids are everywhere. I mean, it's just so good for her. That's just another fond memory of those days.
Yes.
So we're going to take another break. And we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the future of Samantha and what's going to happen then. We're going to look into the crystal ball and see what she has planned.
Thanks.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
So when you think, Samantha, about what has changed in our lives, Samantha, Jennifer and I and Samantha have competed for who was going to move the most in the last 17 years. I don't know. We might be tied because we moved a lot. You moved a lot. We might be tied. But how much has changed in our lives in that 17 years we've known each other? It's incredible.
Yeah, it's madness. But, you know, the more things change, the more they say the same. I'm back in Lexington. I've got a Labrador. I still take long walks.
We're still talking on microphones.
still, you know, pony mad, crazy about horse shows. Every time I speak to my mum and... you know, I'll
tell her I said hi, by the way.
I'm really excited because I'm going to, you know, Maryland or wherever for this big horse show. And she just still laughs, giggles, thinks it's really, should, oh, darling, you're so funny. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, it's just adorable. You're so sweet. You're just like you are when you're a teenager.
She's convinced you would have grown out of it by now.
My mom, I'm living my dream. Like, I get to go to horse shows, talk to all the riders. Like, you know, I should be laughing, you know, this is great.
So what's the future hold? Are there any plans that we need to know about here?
I don't know. I mean, no, nothing groundbreaking. Not that I know of, just happy to wake up every day and go for a walk. And I'm going to the European Championships at Blenheim in September. I'm hoping that Debbie and I will cover WEG next year in Aachen. I've never been to Aachen, so that'll be great.
Is there something? Maybe. Is there something in the media world, in the horse media world, that you've always wanted to do and haven't done? Written a book, or, you know, something? I'm just throwing out there.
No, I mean, there's lots of things, but I don't want to write a book, especially not about. I mean, everyone else can do that much better than I could.
But, everybody that keeps insisting I should write a book about podcasting, I'm like, look, just, it'd be one of many, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not agreeing with you that it will be one of many, but the thought of writing a book seems
like work.
Daunting. Seems very overwhelming. And I did wonder, when I came back here, when I'd been in England for a couple of years during COVID, I was thinking, because I did Philip Dutton's social media for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
And then had to give it an hour. So I wonder if I should do that. I mean, maybe not for Philip, but I wonder if I should get more into that. And then I came back and I was like, oh, everyone's already doing that.
Yeah, they're doing it. There's 100 people doing that now.
I don't know how to do reels and I don't want to get on Snapchat. And so, I do feel I'm quite old compared to all these young kids who have so much energy and so good at everything and can sort of adopt all the new things so quickly. And I'm like, wait, what? So,
you know what, though? Us old people still have something to say. You know, it's interesting when Equine Network asked after my 3-year contract is up, right, which is now, they said, do you want to keep doing it? And I asked Jamie, and Jamie's comment was about Horses in the Morning. You know, we're on almost 4,000 episodes, Samantha. Jamie's comment was, I think I still have things to say. And I said, you know what? I think I do too. And I think, you know, that's part, and if people are still willing to listen to what we have to say, you know, one show that I would love to bring back, and it still gets downloads, is Equestrian Legends, the Legends show.
Yes.
It still did. It gets downloads. There were only like 30 episodes of that. The problem with that show was it was a lot of work to put together the background on the people you were going to talk to, because it was a much more intensive show. You know, you had one legend for an hour, but you had to dissect their whole life and decide what's going to go in the hour that's important, right? So that was a hard show. Probably with AI today, it would write it for you. You wouldn't have to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. It might be an easier show to do today than it was back then.
There's been the last few events, the big events, like I think Maryland, Stableview, no. Anyway, I shared an Airbnb with a few of the, you know, a few of the media people, but they're all so much younger than me. And it was really good for me, because they would, Sally Spickard was one of them, and she's,
we love Sally. We have her on all the time.
Yeah. She's brilliant. But she's like, oh yeah, I use ChatGPT to do this and to do that. And then I do, and I was like,
we're using it more and more for, like, if I'm doing a history segment, I can save hours of time by asking the right question and getting the place to start. Right. So it gives me the background and all the sources. I go to the sources. And it just makes it so much. It just saves time. Right. That's what it does.
ChatGPT me. Go back in the history books to find out more about Samantha.
You can.
Where we started.
You can, for sure.
So I wondered if there was something if there was some sort of hole I could fill for owners. I was going to go to an event with my aunt in England, who owns part of a horse that was competing at Bramham. So I'm like, that'll be really good. I wasn't going to do any work, and I was just going to go for fun with my aunt. And it was a completely different experience from being in the media, because
to eat the good food.
Yes, we were in the tent. So, but it was really, I was sort of disorienting, because I'm used to, you know, getting there on the first day and seeing every horse from the beginning to the end, and, you know, taking notes and thinking about it and dissecting it and talking about it with other people and analyzing every ride. And basically, owners just show up to watch their horse, and they don't care about anyone else or how anyone else does. We missed like the entire first morning.
Were you starting to shake? Were you getting shivers and sweating?
I was getting really nervous. And I didn't, as much as I enjoyed, you know, like, and it was really nice at the end to just go home and that be done, like in the evenings, no writing, working. So that was nice. But it was, I'm pretty happy doing it the way I do it.
Yeah. It is. There's a certain amount of freedom there. <It's> like, did you ever think that the Horse Radio Network would turn into what it did when we were back in 2008?
No.
I didn't either. I mean, I'm with you.
I think you're very good at picking people who are good at what they do and can share that well and are interesting to listen to. But I never imagined that, you know, like all those shows that you had at one point, that was incredible.
Well, and you know, we meaning you and I and the others that were in the beginning, had a tough time, because we constantly were in the battle of what's a podcast. And Serial came out in 2006 or 7, the podcast Serial came out, and that changed the landscape. That, you know, gave hundreds of millions of people an idea of what a podcast was. If Serial hadn't come out at the time it came out, I'm not sure that podcasting would have died at that point, because it was the thing that saved podcasting at that point. And then COVID happened, and then everybody decided to be a podcaster, and now there's 1,000 horse podcasts. Now, 90% of them are dead, you know, because people think this is easy. Is it easy, Samantha, doing podcasts? I always said at conferences, there's 10 to 12 hours of pre and post production for every hour we're talking on the mic, and people didn't believe me.
No.
And those people are not around anymore. You know, because they didn't put in the 10 to 12 hours. You know, they forget about the marketing and everything else that has to happen once you've produced an episode, right? They forget.
Well, even before the episode, getting everyone to be able to be there at the same time and not be late. And
for the WEG show, just like all our other shows, the biggest nightmare was booking guests. WEG show worse, because it was professional riders and they were a nightmare. to book. You just could, and they would constantly change, and I couldn't do it this morning, or they were riding a horse, and we had to try and interview them on their phone on, while they were riding a horse, and their signals going in and out. Oh my God, those were the days, Samantha. But booking guests, pro riders, was the hardest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was difficult, for sure. And especially in disciplines we didn't know a thing about, like reining. We didn't know a thing about reining. We had no idea what they were doing out there. But we interviewed them. We had them on. We covered it, you know. I think we faked it. I'm not sure we ever made it, but we faked it.
Yeah.
I think I got better at vaulting. I think vaulting was one I handled pretty well. But
well, you invested a lot of time into it, Glenn.
See, it wasn't as fun in Tryon because it wasn't air conditioned in that building. It was hot in there. So it wasn't as fun in the vaulting building. Well, Samantha, thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been wonderful going down memory lane.
It has been wonderful going down memory lane. I hope you're not totally bored to death, everybody. But Samantha is one of the reasons that the Horse Radio Network did what it did. The WEG shows really did draw an audience. They were the biggest shows at the time, especially 2010. I think the WEG show was the one that put Horse Radio Network on the map. It got people who, because we were the only ones. There was nobody
because
else.
Because we had such a huge span of, you know, all the disciplines. So we got all sorts of people.
And we were the only podcast.
Do you remember the Australian couple, Hamish and Dave? They were so funny.
Whatever happened to them? They were such.
One of them got married and had a baby. And
they were so popular back then. Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of that thing like, oh, yeah, well, fine, sure. Come and be on our podcast. They had a little following. Then we, you know, so then we got followers in Australia from them. And
ironically, the thing that got us the largest following was my stupid weather reports in Tryon. There were like 10,000 people would tune into what I was writing every day about the hurricane coming. You remember how stupid that all was?
Yeah.
But I just made them entertaining and funny, and people read them every day. It's like we'd walk around, and people would say, "I read your report this morning." It was so funny.
Oh, they were counting on you.
I know. It's like, and then it was an obligation. I had to get up at 5 o'clock every morning and check the weather to write the report. That's the part people don't see, is the getting up at 5 o'clock every morning to get ready for the day, and then producing stuff till 10 o'clock at night. That's the part they don't see, you know, of those. But you know what? I wouldn't give up, especially Lexington WEG, for anything.
No. Neither of them.
That's in the top three of my fondest memories of podcasting, is that.
Well, we could always do LA.
John Nicholson became good friends. He was the one that ran the horse park back then. It's now running Old Friends.
Old Friends.
Yeah, we just had him on the show the other day, and he's still a good friend. I feel like I know John so well because we got to know him so well.
Yeah. Have you ever had Michael Blowen on?
Yes, we've had him on several times.
He's amazing.
Yep.
He's amazing.
He is. We've had him on several times. And then I've got to give one special thank you to, and she'll never see this, but Susanna from Alltech.
Oh, yeah.
She was one of our best allies and friends.
She's a cheerleader, yeah.
We went out to dinner with her. She was just the most, I think she practically runs the place now. She's vice president of something, I think. But good. She was terrific. And I messaged her last year just to say hi, and she's still doing great. So,
good.
But she was one of the special people. Yeah. Samantha, you too.
You too, Glenn. You brought everyone together. You're pretty amazing guy.
Well,
incredible. I feel very lucky to have met you, however we did meet.
I have no idea how.
It was definitely...
That's what happens when you get old. You don't remember how. We just always have known each other, Samantha. So tune in. We're going to continue this series on Friday when Dr. Wendy comes on. And of course, when I met Dr. Wendy, it was on the back of a carriage. We'll tell this story on Friday, but I'll give you a preview. Was on the back of a carriage. I was driving a four-in-hand of Hackney ponies. Ironic, since I own an Hackney pony now. And Dr. Wendy was just along, and she was sitting in the back. And as soon as we got back in the car, Jennifer was along too. I said, I'm going to hire her for a host of something. I don't care what. Because you know Dr. Wendy. Once you meet her, you just love Dr. Wendy. So we're gonna see what she's up to on Friday and talk a little bit about the past, the current, and the future with Dr. Wendy as well. Thanks, Samantha. Go ahead.
Oh, I actually spend quite a lot of time, well, not quite, but I see Reese Stanfield, Kofla Stanfield, quite a lot, talking of hosts who are amazing, because she trains my best friend, dressage, and so we're going to start a book club.
Oh, yay. You know, Reese is one of those special people. You know, she was a little after the beginning. She came in a little later. But her and Phil, you know, were instituted. They did that show with us for 10 years. She's still doing the show. And unfortunately, we lost Phil, you know, along the way. But cheers, Phil, by the way.
Yeah.
But he, you know, she's great. She was a good friend before. Before I asked her to come on board, she didn't want to do it. You know, she had every excuse
in
the world.
Because she's so good at it.
She gave me 3 months, and now it's 12 years later. So there you go. Obviously, she can't get rid of me either, Samantha. See ya.
There's a bit of a theme here.
Yeah. Bye, Samantha.
Bye, Glenn.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that little walk down memory lane with Samantha. She's always delightful, and it was so good to see her again. We did spend a lot of time together doing the World Equestrian Game shows, and I do have very, very, very fond memories of that. Well, tomorrow we will have the NRHA, the National Riding Horse Association, will be with you. And then on Friday, I'll be back here with Dr. Wendy Yang in our look at the past, present, and future. And Jamie and I will be back together with you on Monday morning. Be safe, everyone.